Well, they've known each other since the dawn of time.
Yeah. One's an angel, one's a demon.
They both started as angels. One of them fell.
With style.
Yeah, or sauntered vaguely downwards, as he prefers to put it.
Yeah, and they've both been sent by their respective head offices to work in the same field, and over time, they have come to an agreement.
Sometimes you're hosting a podcast or at a roundtable, and if your guests are on a roll where everything clicks, you just have to turn them loose. And this is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. My roundtable at New York Comic Con a few years ago turned Michael Sheen and David Tennant loose, talking season one of Good Omens and their chemistry. The result of that, in a moment.
Well, they've known each other since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
One's
an angel, one's a demon.
They both started as angels. One of them fell.
With style.
Yeah, or sauntered vaguely downwards, as he prefers to put it.
Yeah, and they've both been sent by their respective head offices to work in the same field, and over time, they have come to an agreement, and then that agreement has turned to a sort of friendship, and that friendship maybe has turned to something even more deep, but that they can't really talk about,
yeah.
I guess. And they've fallen in love with being on Earth and what it is to be human. You know, I think the fact that neither of them are human has allowed them to kind of enjoy what being human means, and they've sort of knocked the edges off each other, and they've become more like each other as well, and now they don't want it to end, and there's this terrible plan to bring it all to an end, and so they have to do what they can to stop it.
And about that read-through.
Read-throughs are always awful, because they're like that. They're a first day of school. You're meeting lots of people for the first time. Hundreds of people you never meet again as well.
Yeah.
You know, screens of executive producers, and I'm so-and-so from the BBC, and I'm so-and-so from Amazon. And you're going, I mean, this is all a blur, because I'm terrified anyway. I'm going to have to read words out loud for the first time. I'm convinced someone's going to tap me on the shoulder and went, this was great, but, you know, Damien Lewis is over there, and he's, so you're dealing with all of that, and you're sort of trying to make out that you're happy to be there and thrilled, and all you want to do is curl into a fetal position under the table. So you're dealing with all that, but then you also get to play for the first time, and you want to give of your best, because you want people to think, oh, he deserves to be here, and you want to try and start making those connections, and sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. But I think we started reading the scenes, and we've got a lot of scenes together as we went through the script, and the characters began to bubble and come to life and come into focus in a way that they can never really do when you're sitting in your bedroom and reading the novel and trying to imagine what it might look like when you put that pair of boots on, and if you do that with your hair, and what that will all add up to. And it was, I think it became a very important moment for us establishing what those characters were going to be going forward.
Yeah, I mean, those read-throughs are an odd thing, because, you know, you get some actors who just sort of mumble their way through it and don't really commit to it because they don't want to, because it's a really vulnerable situation. Like, it's the first time the character sort of starts to make itself heard, because unless you've been at home practicing in front of the mirror, which would just be weird, then, you know, it's the first time you kind of let the character start to try and find out who it is. And with this, it's so much about what their relationship is like. So it was our first attempt to start to see what that is. So it was of all the read-throughs I'd ever done for anything, this was the most important one in terms of the process, I suppose, in a way. In that because we wouldn't get much chance afterwards, we'd be filming.
Yeah.
So it was the first time, and possibly the only time, that we got a first go at going, ooh, who? Oh, right, you're that colour, and I'm this colour, and when I do this, that seems to work, that bounces off you quite well. And it really did feel like adjusting to each other, and it felt like a dance, like going, all right, this is how we move together, and this is how this bit of my body works when it's going with that bit of your body.
But it all felt quite like it was going to work, whereas sometimes that process can be like, they're going to do it like that. Okay.
Oh, shit, I can't do this then.
Oh, I thought I was going to be able to sort of do a little half of there, but now I have to go up. But all that felt positive and sort of forward. It had a forward motion to it rather than anything constricting.
And I not necessarily able to say what they were, but it felt like we were discovering things a lot through that read-through that then informed everything we did.
Yes, you're right. It's very instinctive and a bit nebulous. It's hard to pin down, but that it did feel like it was a positive evolution.
Yeah, yeah.
We traveled through the ages with these characters, as mentioned before.
Well, because it's done, most of those are sort of one, there's a scene at Shakespeare's Globe, there's a scene in the 60s Soho, there's a scene in ancient Rome, and of course, because of the way a filming schedule works, you visit them intermittently over the sort of 5 months.
I always looked forward to doing one of those.
Yeah, exactly. They were always great fun to do. It's a brilliant sequence, brilliantly written, and of course, each one was a huge setup in its own right. And they didn't stint on this production. I mean, we went to Shakespeare's Globe. We took it over for 3 hours and filled it, well, with straw and supporting artists. And, that was one of the joys of it being a production that had a bit of heft behind it, that all these worlds were beautifully created.
And it did feel like the real dressing up box came out.
I
don't get to change. Like, I decided that Aziraphale has just sort of stayed looking pretty much the same. He, like, if he finds a nice waistcoat in the Victorian era, he just keeps it. You know, like, that's part of his thing. And so when we got to do the going through history stuff, I got to really dress up a bit, which was, I love
it. I think
that.
Everyone, because it meant the makeup and wardrobe got to sort of show off and come up with some. So I think everyone got a little bit excited at those moments. Because, ancient Rome today, what's that going to be like?
Yeah, we see each other coming out of there. What's his hair going to be like in this one?
And on their interesting relationship.
It's almost deeper than a friendship, though, because they've known each other for such a long time. They've known each other through all of history. They're almost like a marriage, aren't they? They are two halves of the same being by the end of the story.
They know each other so well, and they have such a... They know what each other likes, and ultimately, they never want to really hurt each other, but they bicker a lot, you know, and they'll fight, but I think underneath, there's a real respect for each other, it seems like.
Yes.
A real sensitivity to each other.
But with that, a lot of eye-rolling and a lot of incredulous looks. And
enjoying what your role is to the other one, you know, like, there's a lot of that, I think, isn't there? I get to be the sort of like, oh, for goodness sake, that kind of thing, and there's a real enjoyment.
And I get to be, come on, listen up!
As far as the humor, how much room did you guys have to play?
Well, Neil says that his favourite bit in the whole series is the one bit that we made up together.
Yeah.
And I won't say what bit that is.
No, but, we'll have to guess.
He just told us that earlier on, didn't he?
It didn't happen a lot, but there were moments, I guess, that one moment which has made it into the final cut. But a lot, it's all there. Those characters are there. They're on the page of the novel, and they were definitely there on the page of the script. So
I mean, they're just the basic premise of that relationship, and the context it's in is funny and enjoyable. Mm. So it's sort of baked into them, and Neil's writing is so great that it's like that. But also,
we're
I think
we're not going to come up with anything better on the hoof.
No,
than
but I think we are. But I think one of the things that is similar about us as actors, I think, I dare to say,
oh, do tell,
is that we are quite, without changing the words, we're quite improvisational actors, in that we can play around with scenes and lines without necessarily changing the dialogue.
That's interesting, yeah.
Like, I would be one of the most enjoyable things about acting with David is being surprised by the choices that he's made for things. Oh, that's a really enjoyable choice you made. I would never have thought of that. And that's like improvising in a way. You know, that is like going off script, but you're not. You're sticking with the lines. You're just bringing a whole lot of creativity to what you're doing, and that's what's so enjoyable to act with him.
That's quite true, actually. Being surprised by something that Michael did would kind of go, oh, now I've got to play the scene that
way.
Oh,
now I go this way with it,
That always felt like an improvement rather than oh, he's not going to do it like that, is he?
Yeah.
Which is sometimes the experience on set.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Big fan of you both.
Oh, cheers. Nice to see
you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The series, to me, hinges on the incredible chemistry between Michael Sheen and David Tennant, who delighted us, as you heard, during the roundtable. Special thanks to New York Comic Con and Amazon. Good Omen airs on Prime Video. Season 1 and 2 are now available. I'm happy to say that I have officially launched Sci-Fi Talk Plus, and it gives you, the listener, the option to customize your own playlist from over 1,000 episodes. There's exclusive videos on movies and television you must see.
plus exclusive podcast series and episodes. All are commercial-free and uncensored. I even field your questions and requests and ask me anything. There's also a free trial period, too, with a special introductory offer of $5 a month. Just a little more than a cup of coffee. Some cups of coffee are $5. If you opt in for the yearly subscription, you can save 17%. Look for my Trek Tuesday Star Trek series with interviews from every Star Trek generation, plus specials on the acclaimed series Silo, and featuring a database of my interviews going back when I started podcasting in 2005. There's the original series, The Science of Mars, as scientists, astronauts, writers, and historians speculate on what it would be to live on the angry red planet. All this and more at Sci-Fi Talk Plus. Subscribe now for only $5. And it's real easy. Click on the link in the show notes for easy enrollment to listen on the device of your choice. For Sci-Fi Talk, this is Tony Tolato. Thanks so much for listening.